Good morning, everyone. I say I have to start with a complaint today. You see, every Wednesday night I find myself in a helpless and hopeless situation. My daughter's getting married in March, and I'm the father of the bride, so I have to be able to dance, otherwise I'm an embarrassment. What I want to know is, why is it always my fault when I step on her feet during dancing lessons? How can I lead her when she won't follow me? And why do I have to endure the look? Guys, you know the look, don't you? That's not a look. And sarcastic comments as well every few minutes. Gee, it's tough. No wonder I feel helpless and hopeless every Wednesday night, which reminds me of a little story of three frogs who happen to be swimming around in a vat of milky liquid on a farm in Gippsland. They couldn't get out, so the three of them are paddling around. The first little frog gives up straight away, gives up hope, sinks to the bottom and drowns. The other two little frogs, they keep paddling and paddling. The second one eventually tires out, gives up hope and sinks to the very bottom and drowns. The third little frog, he won't give up. He's paddling and paddling and paddling, and eventually something solid is under his feet. He's okay. It's all turned to butter. He never gave up hope. And he was safe. Let's pray. Loving God, we pray today that we shall come to know you more as the God who gives us hope, and indeed as the God of hope. Instruct our minds, change our hearts, and give us hope for the future, no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I reckon life is sort of like a tsunami. I don't know whether you can see that. I'm not sure whether it's true or a Hollywood fiction, but life circumstances commonly come like a giant tsunami to sweep us off our feet, to swamp us and cause utter devastation to our lives. It can be scary and overwhelming. We can be filled with despair, consumed by thoughts of hopelessness and helplessness. Maybe today you're facing a tsunami in your life. Maybe it's a death of someone close. Maybe it's a painful or even life-threatening illness. Maybe it's the loss of job with no prospects of getting another. A marriage that has hit the rocks. A friendship or a relationship that's gone sour and that hurts like crazy. The loneliness of being single. Teenage child out of control, gone ballistic. An adult child whose love maybe has grown cold, or who's making choices that we just can't accept. Debt that can't be handled, a business that is going under, investments that are worth little today. Old age, the anxiety of that is fast creeping up. The loss and sadness that comes with dementia, the addiction that strangles, the habit that consumes. These are all just part of the tsunami of life, and they can cause utter devastation. We only have devastation left in our lives as the tsunami sweeps over us. And of course, even day-to-day coping with life and business, I think Peter very bravely shared with us just 3 or 4 weeks ago how in day-to-day ministry for him, when he comes face-to-face with all that we face in our lives, he can find that very, very difficult as a minister and want to give up. We won't let him, of course, even though he might want to from time to time. For myself, you know, as a lawyer, struggling just with injustice and unfairness and trying to fight for people's rights can get very wearisome. Sometimes I just want to give up, close the doors and go off to Noosa, it'd be lovely. dancing queen here won't let me. I won't do that anyway. See, the word hope, it's been hard this sermon, because the word hope, you can't just put it under a microscope and there it is, you know, and you grab hold of it. It's sort of something that's sort of moving all the time. But if it's just a word, if it's just a feeling, if it's just a wishful thought, or even positive thinking, then it's something quite useless, I'd suggest. But at its essence, hope beats deep within each of our hearts. It's there to sustain us, to give us life, and to move us away from this devastation and into a new tomorrow. That's hope. Hope is a belief that something good lies ahead. And we wait for that to happen with an attitude of trust and expectancy. And when the tsunami of life hits and there's devastation, it's hope that dares to imagine a different future, and it moves us to that future expectancy. It's hope deep from within that moves us from the here and now to the there and then. It's hope that is audacious, in the words of Barack Obama, audacious and courageous and active and passionate and life-giving. Because it says no to the present circumstances. That's what hope does within us. It says no, and it says, I want something different. It refuses to accept the here and now, and it inspires us to embrace something different in the future. It springs forth, does it not, out of anxiety and fear, out of stress and strain, out of worry and depression even, out of fear and trauma. Hope saves us from endlessly being tormented by words. And I reckon, if I'm not wrong, they're words that everyone here says, as I do, if only, if only, if only, over and over, we torment ourselves. But hope ultimately won't let us torment ourselves. Hope causes us to change our thinking, and I'll come to that just a little later. As we look back, yep, there's devastation as the tsunami of life hits. But hope is there to sustain our very lives, to be at work in us, and to help us move into a new tomorrow. This is the hope we heard about last Sunday during our Thanksgiving services, did we not? Was it not inspiring to hear from people stand up and speak of this God of hope? We heard it just a week or two before that when dear Kath Driver there stood up. She said, I don't normally stand up and say anything, and she's nearly 95 next January, Kath, is that right? Yes, 95. And she said, and there was hope in her eyes. I found it really inspiring, hope in her eyes. There she had buried her husband some 38 years ago and two of her three children. And yet she could still say that there was a God of hope that inspired her to live and to live a long and happy life. I found that truly inspiring. And then we heard just in this past week of a very, very sad funeral of a dad aged 28 and his two little boys who drowned off the jetty at Tathra in New South Wales, and they were on a fishing trip. Don't know about you, but it just gripped me. And I was devastated for what had happened and for the family. And there's the mum, partner Tracy, in the funeral service. There's a partner and two little boys in the one coffin, and she cries out, Shane, Shane, just tell me what I am here for. That is such a deep, heart-wrenching cry of hope. And I hope that Stacy makes it. And 2,000 years ago, there was another woman who chose to reach out to God for hope. She was in a hopeless and helpless situation, Ian. A hopeless and helpless situation, Mark 5. She'd spent all her money looking for cures, we're told. She'd gone to many doctors. She was getting worse instead of better. And then something happened. She heard about Jesus. She heard that there was something remarkable about this man, something different about him. She heard that maybe he was Messiah, the Son of God. And there she was beside the road one day, and she was in this crowd, and she reached out, this woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. She was ceremonially unclean. She shouldn't have touched this rabbi, this holy man of God. That would be to defile him. But you see, hope is audacious. It's courageous. It's passionate. It's believing. And in the crowd, she reached out and she touched his cloak because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. That was the expectancy. That was hope within her. And immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" The crowd is everywhere and you say, "Who touched me?" Yet Jesus knew and he kept looking around to see who had touched him. When a tsunami hits and devastates, there's only one thing I know for sure. Can you guess what that is? The one thing I know for sure is that God will be at work giving us hope. Now, I don't want to do a spiritual whitewash here. That's the last thing I would want to do today. In fact, I've been very concerned about doing that. Because I know for myself that this hope business is tough. It don't come easy. Just Psalm 33, Ian, just the last four verses, 18 through to 22. I want to focus on these four verses because I think they're the most wonderful part of Scripture for us. They give us real practical handles, and I'm hoping that they will speak deeply to you today. They instruct us and reassure us about the source of our hope and the audacity of that hope and the dynamic of that hope between God and us, for indeed there is a dynamic that happens. When the tsunami of life hits, there is devastation. And what are we to do? Verse 20 tells us we wait. We do what? We wait. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm very, very good when the tsunami of life hits at really thrashing around, at getting all worked up. I can't wait. I'm the most impatient person I've ever met in all my life. I have no patience. Yet the Word of God would say to me, as to you, we are to wait in hope for the Lord. I want answers, instant answers of that. I'm Mr. Fix-It. When things go haywire in my life, we roast preacher for lunch. Oh dear. See what I mean about getting all worked up, thrashing around. Oh dear. I'm Mr. Fix-It, of course. When things go terribly wrong, there's a tsunami and there's devastation, I can get it right. Dancing Queen tells me just to grow up, but that's hardly helpful when the tsunami of life hits. But I'm really good when the tsunami hits, when there's devastation, of throwing myself a pity party. And don't say you don't do this because I know you do. Really good at throwing a pity party and serving myself refreshments. Oh, it feels good. What a party it is. And there I am, I'm buried in, if only, if only, if only. But it's a pretty lousy party. I'm very good at times like that. I've got a gut feel that you're very good at it too, of blaming God. See, I'm a lawyer. I can cross-examine God. Hey. I cross-examine God. I like a good God grumble and a God rumble. And I hold nothing back. After 54 years on the planet, I've been hit by many tsunamis. But you know what? that pity party thing, that what if only, if only, if only. I'm a slow learner, but I have been learning over a lifetime that there's a better way forward to survive the devastation that is caused by a tsunami in my life. And we see this from these few verses in Psalm 33. The better way is to wait in hope for the Lord, no matter how hard the waiting might be. It's to revere God, we see in these verses, to worship Him no matter what, to hope in His unfailing love, to trust in His name. Now, all of that is very nice and spiritual, but I've got to say that when a tsunami hits and devastates, my common experience is that God goes AWOL. You know that phrase? Absent without leave? God goes AWOL. See, I understand Job. My common experience, like Job, in Job 23, 8 to 10, if I go to the east, He's not there. If I go to the west, I don't find Him. When He is at work in the north, I don't see Him. And when He turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of Him. And then what's worse, Job goes on in Job 19, though I cry, I've been wronged, I get no response. Though I call for help, there is no justice. And listen to this. He has blocked my way so I cannot pass. He tears me down on every side. He uproots my hope like a tree. You had that experience? God is absent. God is silent. God has abandoned us. It's bad enough that friends and family in certain types of tsunamis might abandon us. But for God Himself to abandon us? Yet the spiritual reality is something different. Job learnt this, by the way. I think I'm learning it too. The spiritual reality is that we're not alone. That's what these four verses say to us, I believe. God is at work, no matter what, to give us hope by the Holy Spirit, through the community of faith, through other people. I want to just say a little personal thing here. There I was some 13 years ago. I'd left law, moved from law to grace, and become a minister, a pastor, a preacher. And there I was 13 years ago in the Dole queue in Geelong. I want to say to you that that was the toughest experience for someone like me. There I was standing there. I mean, failure written across here. Utter failure. I was the victim of church politics. It happens sometimes in churches. When it happens, that tsunami hits and hits very powerfully and devastates not only one like me, but my family too. And there I was standing in the Dole queue in Geelong, and I felt ashamed. I felt traumatized. I was anxious for the future. How could I provide for my family anymore? Where was God? God was AWOL. How could God allow this to happen? What a devastation for me and for the church. If only, it consumed me. Then standing in the Dole queue, there was a call for me to go, booth 14. There I go with my application form handed over. There's a man there, he starts reading it. He looks up and he says, I'm a minister too. I understand what you've gone through. I'm going to pray for you. That was hope, you see. That was God speaking through a person. That's the last I saw of that person. Don't know his name, don't know where he is today. But the God of hope met with me in booth 14 off the Dole queue in Geelong. The toughest of times. It took, I've got to say, weeks and then months and then years to recover. That's what happens when a tsunami hits and devastates. But we're okay these days. You see, we're dancing. Yeah? God is good. Not instantaneous solutions, not when we demand it, not immediate relief. But in his time, this God of hope comes and brings a healing and redeems the devastation. And God is good, and we are to trust in that God of hope. You see, when the tsunami of life hits, yes, sure, it's a process. It's messy. The devastation hurts like crazy. There's the if only. But one day, you can move to the better question. The better question. You know what that might be? Not if only, but what now, Lord Jesus? What now, Lord Jesus? You then know that hope has worked. Maybe there'll be no outworking of the circumstances in your lifetime. Maybe it'll have to happen in eternity. Maybe it'll happen really slowly, but it will be happening. You see, at some time or another, we're to take our eyes off the devastation. And from verse 18, we are to know deep down that the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. God hasn't gone AWOL, you see. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. He's watchful and attentive and caring in the tsunami of life. Verse 19, more than that, he delivers us from death. He keeps us alive in famine. He is actively at work in our circumstances. Verse 20, we are to know that he is our help and our shield, our protector. Verse 22, wonder of wonders, his unfailing love rests upon us. That's the reality of what happens when the tsunami of life hits and there is utter devastation. His unfailing love rests upon us. It's a two-way partnership, if you will. God gives us hope on the one hand, and we are to put our hope in God on the other. And the two come together, and it's unbreakable. And then God's unfailing love rests upon us. I think that's just so beautiful to take into our hearts and to receive, no matter what might be happening in our lives. There's a time for gritting our teeth. Of course there is. There's a time for fleeing from the tsunami. There's a time for thrashing around and kicking and screaming. That's all very human and very real, but also we are to wait in hope for the Lord. We are to wait patiently in quiet humility with trust, sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months, sometimes for years, sometimes into eternity. This woman who had hemorrhaged for 12 years, she looked out for the God of hope that day coming along the road. She was propelled by hope as she reached out and touched him. She revered him, she worshipped him, and she fell at his feet, and she heard those wonderful, life-giving words, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Some this morning will come forward for prayer for healing, and maybe anointing with oil, and they'll be hoping to hear similar words. They'll be seeking after a divine encounter with the God who gives hope. For some, there's been far too much suffering for too long. Some will be in truly desperate, hopeless and helpless situations, and we as a community of faith would want to stand with you and pray the prayer of faith and minister hope for healing, hope for a new tomorrow. We can't promise there will be healing today, because that would be for us to trample on your holy ground. That's something between you and God. If there's no healing, yes, that will be heartbreaking. That will be disappointing. That will be discouraging. But I would simply exhort you, never, ever give up. Continue to receive God's hope. Continue to reach out to the God of hope as you would encounter Him along the road of your lives. When everything in life is helpless and hopeless, when the tsunami hits and devastates, when we've got nowhere else to go, when we've used up all our emotional resources and there are no answers, then there is the God of hope of whom the Apostle Paul speaks in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when everything in life is hopeless and helpless, along the road comes the God of hope to give us a new tomorrow. You know what? This is truly God's gift of hope to us today. Hope? Why, it's a person. It's the person of Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, loving God, we thank You that You've been speaking to each of us through Your word this day. Come by Your Holy Spirit in power, we would pray, to minister grace and peace, love and joy, forgiveness, hope and healing in our midst. May there be miracles that happen this day in our community of faith, because You so graciously and sovereignly would visit with us to give us hope. No matter what the tsunami, no matter the devastation, today, loving God, we would reach out and touch the edge of Your garment and ask for You to do a wonderful work in each of our lives. For some of us, loving God, our love has grown cold because we haven't handled the devastation that can come from life's tsunamis too well. We've been disappointed. We feel as though we've been let down, and You seem to have gone AWOL. Our love toward You has grown cold. Loving God, meet with these dear ones this day. Meet them afresh and give them hope for a new tomorrow in the person of Jesus. And some here today, loving God, do not even know this God of hope at all. Loving God, come in the person of Jesus and present Yourself to these dear ones, that they may yet have hope for their lives. Bless us all now as we move forward in faith, in hope, and under the unction of Your Holy Spirit, all because of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.